ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे हरे Last 2 days we have discussed the stories of Avanti Brahman and Sankhya Yoga, then about the three modes in Aila Gita, and we began the process of deity worship yesterday. So we came till verse number 14. So we'll do the 15th verse. Dravyaihi prasiddhair madyogah मद्यागः प्रतिमादिश्वमान् इनः भक्तस्य च यथा लब्धैर् हृदिभावेन चैव हि
वन् शुड् वर्शिप् मी इन् मै डीटी फार्म्स् बै आफरिङ्ग् द मोस्ट् एक्सलेण्ट् पर्फर्नेलिया बट् अ डिवोटी कम्प्लीट्ली फ्रीड् फ्रम् मेटीरियल् डिज़ायर् मे वर्शिप् मी वित् वाट् एवर् ही इस् एबल् टु ओब्टेन् and may even worship me within his heart with mental paraphernalia.
So here in these three verses, 15, 16, 17, Krishna is describing the mood of deity worship. So yesterday we have discussed how this deity worship process is relevant even in the age of Kali Yuga, although it is recommended that Harinam Sankirtan, holy name, is the Yoga Dharma. Still, deity worship helps us in various ways, in improving our personal hearing and chanting. And a Kanishtha Adhikari needs a formal method to recognize the supremacy of the Lord. So when he is making a Rajbhog plate, which has whatever 15, 20 items, right? And he has to do it very thoroughly. He has to come, take bath, and in a very clean way he has to offer. So by doing all this, he will realize that, oh, here is a person who is greater than everyone. Okay, no ordinary human being can receive this kind of treatment. So it helps us in developing our reverence. So here in the 15th verse, Krishna is giving the standard of deity worship. Whatever one is able to obtain, he can worship me with it. Right? So, it could be mental paraphernalia also. It need not be physical puja, it could be manasa puja also. We know that story of that Brahman who is making sweet rice from the anodi, right? So deity worship is recommended for neophytes, and it is also done by pure devotees, right? It's not that pure devotee should not do deity worship. Pure devotees also do deity worship. So devotee who is still troubled by material desires tends to see the world as an object of sense gratification. But by collecting various objects for worshipping the deity, he will slowly see them as objects meant for service of Krishna, not for one's own sense gratification. So that's how deity worship helps people recognize every object as meant for serving Krishna. Right? So neophyte must offer opulent paraphernalia to the deity so that he may constantly remember that the deity is the supreme enjoyer. And the neophyte is simply worshipper and is meant for the pleasure of the deity. Right? So that is the deity worship done by a neophyte. He will slowly understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and everything is meant for his service. And when a pure devotee does deity worship, he need not be in this mood. By default, he understands that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and everything is meant for his service only. He need not develop this understanding. He already has that understanding. So with that understanding, he engages in deity worship, a pure devotee. But a neophyte, he engages in deity worship to cultivate this understanding, and a pure devotee engages in deity worship with this understanding. Like that. 16 and 17 verses. Snanalankaranam preshtam.
Snanalankaranam preshtam.
Acharyam evatu dhavam.
Acharyam evatu.
Sthandire tattva vinyaso. Vahna ajya plutam hari havai. Surecha bhiranam preshtam. Salilam salile saliladibhi. Shraddhayopahritam preshtam. Bhakte namamavaryapi.
In worshipping the temple deity, my dear Uddhava, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings. For the deity traced on sacred ground, the process of tattva vinyasa is most dear. Oblations of sesame and barley soaked in ghee are the preferred offerings to the sacrificial fire, whereas worship consisting of upasthana and argya is preferred for the sun. One should worship me in the form of water by offering water itself. Actually, whatever is offered to me with faith by my devotee, even if only a little water, is most dear to me.
Mm. So here, Krishna says about offerings to please the Lord. Snana alankritam. So in our deity worship seminars, we were told that the Utsav Murtis, small deities, Radha Banbihari, so they take pleasure in bathing. Okay. And the main deities, you know, Radha Vrindavan Vihari, they take pleasure in dressing. Alankara. Snana alankara. So alankara is mainly meant for the main murtis, and snana is meant for the utsav murtis, like that. And various other festivals, right? Chandan Yatra, Jhulan Yatra, Nauka Vihar, Jalakrida, all these are meant for Abhishek and all festivals. Holi, these are all meant for the utsav murtis. And the main thing is, Pushabhishek is meant for big deities also, but here we don't have place, that's why we do for small deities. Only on installation day we do. But in some traditional South Indian temples and all, they do for the main deity also. Narasimha they do. Balaji also they do. Udipi Krishna, correct. So here Krishna is saying, whatever a devotee offers to me with faith, patram pushpam phalam doyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam asnami prayatatmanah. So patram pushpam phalam doyam. So these are not meant to be eaten. Right? So patram one may eat. Right? Pushpam no one will eat. Right? Phalam one can eat. Right? Toyam one will drink. But Krishna is using the word ashnami. Ashnami praya. Ashnami actually means eating. So in the great ecstasy, Krishna himself was saying that I will eat all of them, all those offerings, right? Out of Krishna's ecstasy, for you know, when he is describing about the bhakti of a devotee, he uses the word Ashnami for all the four items. So one Acharya says like this. So here Krishna says, with a faith, even if one offers little water also, it's very dear to me. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, along with Harinam Sankirtan, many times the topic of deity worship is emphasized, especially in the Madhya Leela beginning chapters. If you see, Sakshi Gopal episode is there, 6th chapter. Then 4th chapter is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is like all deity worship reciprocation only. So he installed the Gopal deity, then he had reciprocation with Gopinath deity, right? He had darshan of Jagannath deity. So he was doing Abhishek and offering of the deities. So deities reciprocate, especially Sakshi Gopal. So he had argument with the deity. He had so much faith on the deity, the young Brahmana and old Brahmana also, that they have taken a vow in front of the deity. And the young Brahmana had so much faith that deity will come and give me witness for my marriage. That was his faith. And he had argument also with the deity. If you can speak, you can walk also. Come, walk. Deity says, Sakshi Gopal, he says that I cannot walk. Did you ever see deity walking? He said, deity is speaking, deity can walk also. That was his faith. Like that. So faith is, faith and love are most important elements. Bhuryapi abhakto partham nametoshaya kalpate gandhodhupas sumanaso deeponnadyam chakim punah.
Even very opulent presentations do not satisfy me if they are offered by non-devotees. But I am pleased by any insignificant offering made by my loving devotees, and I am certainly most pleased when nice preparations of fragrant oil, incense, flowers and palatable foods are offered with love.
So first comes devotion, bhakti, love. They are the first criteria. The magnitude of the offerings, the quality of the offerings, they all take the second priority. Krishna begins the verse saying, bhuri api abhakta upaharitam. So bhuri api, even if they are so great and opulent offerings, if they are done by a abhakta, by a non-devotee, so non-devotee may sometimes do some offering to the deity just to advertise his prowess, right? Advertise that I am such a big donor. So that kind of thing may be there. At least that is better than not offering anything and ridiculing that God is not there. But so when abhakta offers just to show off, they are not very satisfying to the deity, right? Name toshaya kalpate, they will not satisfy me. So gandho dopaha sumanaso deepo annadyam cha kim punaha, right? But my loving devotees, if they offer something, so they are very pleasing to me. So in teachings of Lord Kapila, Kapilidev says that one may offer such gorgeous worship with all, aligning with all standards, right? He uses such pure items and offers deity worship to me. But if he doesn't recognize me in all other living entities, if he disrespects other living entities and respecting only the deity, that worship is oblations in the ashes, right? That is useless, Kapila says in the Kapila Siksha, third canto. So deity worship is, yeah, it's ecstatic, it's very relishing and satisfying, but along with that one has to have reverence and respect for other devotees also. That's very much needed, otherwise one will remain in Kanishta platform. So yeah, listing of the offenses against the deities are there in NOD and many other places, Haribhakti Vilas, etc. So they are all meant for helping one avoid precisely this kind of disrespectful and neglectful attitude towards the Lord. Right? So the offenses are written. What is the theme of those offenses? There are different kinds of neglectful and offensive attitude towards the Lord. So all of them are jotted down in the form of offenses. One should not stretch his legs towards the deities. right? One should not show his back to the deity. So these are all ways of neglecting the Lord, not acknowledging the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing there. So on those lines, offenses are written, right? These are different offenses. One has to take care of them. So all offenses against the deity are based upon irreverence and disregard for the Lord's position as master, right? So one has to enhance the respect and avoid offenses towards the deities. So 19th verse. So offenses are like, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, offenses are like, there are five kinds of offensive attitudes. We shared this in one of our earlier classes also. One is to worship the Lord in an impure state of body and mind, both. Impure state, not taking bath properly and then just entering and doing some worship, right? Or having such agitated state of mind, right? So much in passion. In that kind of state of mind, say you just had a big fight with someone, right? You had some managerial issues going on, mind is absorbed there. You can't divert that mind and immediately absorb on the deity, right? So deity means you have to give full attention. If half the mind space is gone in that solving that issue or then in that fight, you cannot worship the deity in proper consciousness. So worshipping the deity in an impure state of body and mind is an offense. Second, lack of determination, right? To focus on worship means you just do something and then in between you go out and then do something and come back again. That kind of interrupting worship. So that is also not very good. Then worshipping with pride. Oh, I am doing such nice worship, right? I can do the aarti circle like this very nicely, very gracefully. I can dress the deities nicely. I am doing some... No, these are outside, not in the purport. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. Then fourth point is... Second point is determination, lack of determination. First point is worshipping in impure state. Impure state of body and mind, both. Second is lack of determination. Third is worshipping with pride. Fourth is neglect. In spite of having ability, one will neglect to follow. Lack of determination is not... spending full time giving full attention to the deities only, but interrupting the worship in the middle. Right? You just offer something and then go out and then come back. Like that, interruptive worship. Then neglect in spite of having ability to worship properly. No, that is fourth. That's separate. Fourth. Fifth is disrespect. Disrespectful worship. Even in the altar also some chit-chatting will go on continuously. We discuss about some other issues while doing deity worship.
So all that.
That's why we just put Prabhupada's tape. Right? Because mind cannot focus completely on the deity. At least you can focus on Prabhupada's vani at least. So while doing class, while hearing class, you can do the worship. And during Aarti Kirtan is going on. That's how we adjust. Okay, 19th verse. So 19th verse onwards, almost till the end of the chapter, various articles to be offered to the deities and the process of deity worship is given. Like, so we can relate to this more once we get involved, right? After the Brahman initiation, if one goes into doing some installation ceremony or Abhishek ceremony or some other detailed worship, where it is going on, then we can relate to it more. Now it's all theory class. Fourth is neglecting. Lack of determination, like one point is explained, that in between one will go out to do worship. He is not determined to completely focus on the deities. Right? So neglect can involve, like, in spite of having ability to do it, right? Neglect means he already has the ability, but he is not, he will not do it, right? He will not do it properly, right? He can, say, for example, here in our standard, there is 24 Achaman. So we chant 24 names of the Lord while doing Achaman. Who will do 24 Acham? Let me do only three Achaman, right? Keshanam, Narayanam, Madhavanam, done. Govindayanam, put forth, it's done. So it's like, instead of having ability, negligence to do it. Determination is not having, the third point is not having a good quality. Fourth is having a bad quality. It's more or less same only, but slightly different. So 19th onwards we'll go a little fast because they're all different processes only. 19th. Suchi sambhrita sambharah. Pragdarbhaihi kalpitasana. Asina prag udadvacet. Archayam tvatha sammukha.
After cleansing himself and collecting all the paraphernalia, the worshipper should arrange his own seat with blades of kusha grass whose tips point eastward. He should then sit facing either east or north, or else if the deity is fixed in one place, he should sit directly facing the deity.
So, cleansing and collecting required paraphernalia, because he should not get up and go out and bring whatever is missing. That we do some Janmatithi ceremony on Janmashtami and Radhashtami, right? We keep all paraphernalia, you know, next to the deity. Or we have one devotee who is going there and bringing everything. Hemra Prabhu has experience. So, we should sit at one place and then do everything without much interruption and without much delay in the middle of offering various paraphernalia. So, directly facing the deity, or if the deity is fixed in one place. Yesterday we were discussing about two types of deities. One is permanent deity, one is temporary deity. Permanent deity is what is installed, right? It's not movable. It's always there. Temporary deity is you call the deity, you invoke the deity's presence, right? Temporarily, and you tell him, please, you can go back. Like that. The deities which are made of mud or some other things, it's like that. But when it's a pratishtha ceremony is there, deity installation ceremony is there, you call the deity to stay there, he will never go back. Forever he is there and we have to worship him lifelong generations, generations after generations. So Utsamurtis are also like movable deities. Like that. So 20th verse. Utsamurti, we can move them. Then, please read the translation of 20th verse.
The devotee should sanctify the various parts of his body by touching them and chanting mantras. Mm. He should do the same for my deity form, and then with his hands he should clean the deity of old flowers and the remnants of previous offerings. Mm. He should properly prepare the sacred pot and the vessel containing water for sprinkling.
Okay. So first, like, we should decorate our body with tilak marks, right? And later we should then before going and worshipping the deities, we have to remove the old yesterday's offerings. Night dressing, flower and garland we'll remove before doing the day dressing. Yeah.
Then with the water of that prokshaniya vessel, he should sprinkle the area where the deity is being worshipped, the offering that are going to be presented, and his own body. Mm. Next, he should decorate with various auspicious substances three vessels filled with water.
Mm. So, there is with achaman water, we sprinkle the deity area and make it clean, and paraphernalia also we purify with various mudras, right? So that then things are purified there. Next,
the worshipper should then purify those three vessels. He should sanctify the vessel holding water for washing the Lord's feet by chanting Hridayaya Namaha.
So holding water for washing Lord's feet is actually padya. So we have different kinds of water we offer: padya, arghya, achamaniya. Right? So padya is water for washing the feet. Then arghya, achamaniya is washing the mouth. Right? So then achamaniya is washing the hands, washing the mouth. Achamaniya is washing the mouth. Right? Arghya is to give him respectful greeting, inviting, like that. Idam arghyam, like that. Next.
The vessel containing water for Argya by chanting Shirase Swaha, and the vessel containing water for washing the Lord's mouth by chanting Shikaye Vasat.
Mm.
Also, the Gayatri Mantra should be chanted for all three vessels.
Next.
The worshipper should meditate upon my subtle form, which is situated within the worshipper's own body, now purified by air and fire, as a source of all living entities. This form of the Lord is experienced by self-realized sages in the last part of the vibration of the sacred syllable Om.
So 23 to 26 describe the process of Swagatam, welcoming the Lord, okay, to accept our worship. 24.
The devotee conceives of the super soul whose presence surcharges the devotee's body in the form corresponding to his realization. Thus the devotee worships the Lord in his full capacity and becomes fully absorbed in him. By touching the various limbs of the deity and chanting appropriate mantras, the devotee should invite the super soul to join the deity's form, and then the devotee should worship me.
So 23 is describing the meditation on super soul, and the devotee understands that the super soul within his heart is manifesting in the form of his Ishta Devata, the deity. Right? He is non-different from my super soul. He is my Ishta Devata. He is manifesting in the form of deity. It's not a metal form. It's not a brass form. It is my Ishta Devata, my super soul only. In that form he worships. And that super soul, the very beautiful comparison is given. So in the body of the deity, devotee, there is super soul. It's like a lamp that illuminates the entire house. So super soul illuminates the entire body of the devotee. Like that. Yes, next.
The worshipper should first imagine my seat as decorated with the personified deities of religion, knowledge.
Now you welcome the Lord and you offer him a seat. After Swagatam, you give asan. Right? So that asan is described. That asan has four legs. And four legs are like four predominating deities. Right? The four legs are also personalities. Not just some, you know, sticks only. Right?
He should think of the Lord's sitting place as an eight-petaled lotus, effulgent on account of the saffron filaments within its whirl. Then following the regulations of both the Vedas and the Tantras, he should offer me water for washing the feet, water for washing the mouth, arghya and other items of worship. By this process, he achieves both material enjoyment and liberation.
So, padmam ashtadalam tatra. So, the asana is having eight petal lotus. It's like an eight petal lotus, right? Again, these three are mentioned. Padya, water for washing Lord's feet. Then upasparsha indicates achaman, washing mouth. Then arhana indicates the arghya water. Yeah, go ahead.
One should worship in order the Lord's Sudarshan disc, his panchajanya conch shell, his club, sword, bow, arrows and plow, his mushala weapon, his Kaustubha gem, his flower garlands, and the Srivatsa curl of hair on his chest.
One small thing. Previously I said, right, four legs are four personified deities. They are the deities of religion, knowledge, renunciation, and opulence. And there are nine Shaktis. They are also mentioned. Vimala, Utkarshini, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga. So they are all nine Shaktis of the Lord. I think in Mahavishnu episode, when Krishna takes Arjuna to Mahavishnu in 10th canto, 87th chapter, these nine Shaktis, nine opulences are also surrounded. Not 87, 88 somewhere. But that in that episode, Lord is accompanied by these nine Shaktis also. Right? Ajaya is Vimala, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga, Prahvis. I think in that episode it's there too, and 10.14, is it there? I'll have to check once again, because when Brahma, all these personified opulences are also accompanying Krishna. Krishna manifests all Vishnu forms, along with that Lord's abode and different opulences also come. The nine Shaktis. Definitely within Bhagavatam there are one or two more places they come. Oh, it's there. Okay. Hare Krishna. So order of worshipping Lord's associates. Yeah, read.
One should worship the Lord's associates Nanda and Sunanda, Garuda, Prachanda and Chanda, Mahabala and Bala, and Kumuda and Kumudakeshana. With offerings such as Prokshana, one should worship Durga, Vinayak, Vyas, Vishwakshena, the spiritual masters, and the various demigods. All these personalities should be in their proper places facing the deity of the Lord.
So when you invoke other associates of the Lord, they should be facing the Lord. And here the names Durga and Ganesha, they are coming. They are not the Durga and Ganesha in this material world. They are not like wife and son of Shiva. So they are the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. Right? So this Durga in this material world is an expansion of that Durga. Lord's eternal associate Durga. Right? Then 30th verse, read. It's about bathing.
The worshipper should bathe the deity every day, as opulently as his assets permit, using water scented with sandalwood, ushira, root, camphor, kumkuma, and aguru. He should also chant various Vedic hymns such as Anuvak, as the Anuvak known as Swarna Grahma, the Mahapurusha Vidya, the Purusha Shukta, and various songs of the Samaveda such as Rajana and Rohinya.
But when we bathe the deity during Abhishek ceremony, we generally chant Purusha Sukta and Brahma Samhita. Right? We don't chant all this Rajanya, Rohinya and all. So it's like deity worship that we follow is also kind of simplified from the main recommended things. But in, if you go to South India, Sri Vaishnavas do much more elaborate things. Right? Yes, 32 is about dressing the deity, decorating.
My devotee should then lovingly decorate me with clothing, a brahmana thread, various ornaments, marks of tilak and garlands, and he should anoint my body with fragrant oils, all in the prescribed manner.
So decorating the deity with clothing, that we know. Brahman thread could be the cotton thread, or sometimes it is gold, sometimes it is made of silver. Right? That is also offered to the Lord. But we wear only the cotton one, not gold and silver one, but Lord can wear the other two also. For Vrindavanyari, we had silver one, silver Brahman thread earlier. Now we changed it. Absorbing your mind completely in the deity, you should give up all other shelter and consider the deity your ultimate well-wisher. So some statements. Next.
The worshipper should faithfully present me with water for washing my feet and mouth, fragrant oils, flowers, and unbroken grains, along with incense, lamps, and other offerings.
These are certain offerings. See, you saw the flow? It's like first 15, 16, 17, he spoke about the mood of offering the deity, mood of deity worship. Then 19 onwards, he started with various articles that are offered, elaborate worship method. First asan, then first swagatam, then asan. Then there are the three vessels, right? Arghya, Padya, and Achamaniya. Okay. Then he spoke about the companions. One first has to imagine the super soul manifested in the form of Ishta Devata. Then he spoke about the associates. Right? Asana has four legs. Then he, in the 30th verse, he speaks about bathing. 32nd verse, decoration, alankara. 33, about various offerings. Right? And 34, he says, offerings should be done according to one's capacity. Okay, and time, place, circumstances. Now you see in Narada Muni's episode, Dhruva Maharaj's episode, Narada Muni tells, if you can't get a marble deity or brass deity there, you can make a deity with earth, right? And offer whatever berries you collect from the forest, right? He simplified the deity worship method, okay, for Dhruva Maharaj, according to his age, time, place, circumstance, capacity, etc. Read 34th verse. 34th.
Within his means, the devotee should arrange to offer me sugar candy, sweet rice, ghee, shashkuli, that is rice flour cakes, apupa, various sweet cakes, modaka, steamed rice flour, dumplings filled with sweet coconut and sugar.
This you know, modak.
Samyava, wheat cakes made with ghee and milk and covered with sugar and spices, yogurt, vegetables, soups, and other palatable foods.
Okay. within his means. If you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is elaborate description, pages after pages, what all items Advaita Acharya offered to the deity. Right? Some 10-15 pages will go in reading the items only. Yeah, next. Some special sevas in 35th verse.
On special occasions and daily if possible, the deity should be massaged with ointment, shown a mirror, offered a eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, bathed with 5 kinds of nectar, offered all kinds of opulent food, and entertained with singing and dancing.
So, all these items except the 5 kinds of nectar, we do every day. Right? You know, giving eucalyptus stick for brushing, showing mirror, right, massaging with ointment, means we use oil only. Right, all this we do. But 5 kinds of panchamrita abhishek we do on festivals. 20th we will do, Nityananda Tridashi. Next. No, for main deity we do oil massage. He says, your collection, we do neem stick. Next.
In an arena constructed according to scriptural injunctions, the devotee should perform a fire sacrifice utilizing the sacred belt, the sacrificial pit and the altar mound. When igniting the sacrificial fire, the devotee should bring it to a blaze with woods piled up by his own hands.
From here he speaks about the sacrifice part. Next.
After spreading kusha grass...
Early morning. Before bathing the deities we offer. For brushing the teeth.
After spreading kusha grass on the ground and sprinkling it with water, one should perform the anvadhana ritual according to the prescribed rules. Then one should arrange the items to be offered as oblations and should sanctify them with water from the sprinkling vessel. The worshipper should next meditate upon me within the fire.
And what is that form? Form of the Lord, like on which one should meditate upon, that is elaborately described in the next 4 verses. Taptajambuna da prakhyam shankha chakra kadam bujaihi lasachatur bhujam shantam padmakinjal kavasasam spurat kirida kataka Katisutra varangadam Srivatsavaksha sambhrajat Kaustubham vanamalinam Dhyayan abhyacharya daruni Havishabhi gritanicha Prasyajya bhagav agharav Dattvachajyaplutam havihi Jahuyanmola mantrena Shodasocha vadannata Dharmadibhyoyathanyayam Mantrai svishtikritam buddhaha.
The intelligent devotee should meditate upon that form of the Lord whose color is like molten gold, whose forearms are resplendent with the conch shell, disc, club and lotus flower, and who is always peaceful and dressed in a garment colored like the filaments within a lotus flower. His helmet, bracelets, belt and fine arm ornaments shine brilliantly. The symbol of Srivatsa on his chest, along with the glowing Kaustubha gem and a garland of forest flowers. The devotee should then worship that Lord by taking pieces of firewood soaked in the sacrificial ghee and throwing them into the fire. He should perform the ritual of aghara, presenting into the fire the various items of oblation drenched in ghee. He should then offer to 16 demigods, beginning with Yamaraj, the oblation called Swishti Krit, reciting the basic mantras of each deity and the 16-lined Purusha Shukta hymn. Pouring one oblation after each line of the Purusha Shukta, he should utter the particular mantra naming each deity.
Then the process after Yajna is described from the 42nd verse. Read, obeisances.
Having thus worshipped the Lord in the sacrificial fire, the devotee should offer his obeisances to the Lord's personal associates by bowing down and should then present offerings to them. He should then chant quietly the Mool Mantra of the deity of the Lord, remembering the Absolute Truth as the Supreme Personality Narayan.
All these Mool Mantras will be explained after Brahman initiation. Next.
Once again, he should offer the deity water for washing his mouth, and he should give the remnants of the Lord's food to Vishwaksena. Then he should present the deity with fragrant perfume for the mouth and prepared betel nut. Singing along with others, chanting loudly and dancing, acting out my transcendental pastimes and hearing and telling stories about me, the devotee should for some time absorb himself in such festivity.
Here the word muhurtam, for some time, indicates that a devotee should be careful not to neglect his regulative principles and service to the Lord in the name of so-called ecstasy. Bharat Maharaj also was rejecting those ecstatic feelings to focus on his regulated worship in the fifth canto. Right? Next, offering prayers, 45.
The devotee should offer homage to the Lord with all kinds of hymns and prayers, both from the Puranas and from other ancient scriptures, and also from ordinary traditions. Praying, O Lord, please be merciful to me. He should fall down flat like a rod to offer his obeisances. Placing his head at the feet of the deity, he should then stand with folded hands before the Lord and pray. O my Lord, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death.
So these are like beautiful prayers to be offered to the deity, recognizing that the deity is exactly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that Krishna is in the deity. Prabhupada said Krishna is the deity. Right? So, if one identifies that form which is in which Krishna's presence is invoked by a pure devotee as Krishna, then he can pray like this, right, in front of the deities. At the same time, while offering so much of reverential worship and then praying to the deity like this, he should also parallelly respect all the other devotees. Right? Next, 47th verse.
Praying in this way, the devotee should respectfully place upon his head the remnants I offer to him. And if the particular deity is meant to be sent away at the end of the worship, then this should be performed. The devotee once again placing the light of deity's presence inside the light of the lotus within his own heart.
So this is like a temporary deity where you first invoke the presence and offer the worship and then send him away, send him back. Even in our regular, what to say, bhoga offering also, we put asans there and invite the Lord who is standing on the altar to sit on that asan and then offer the bhoga and then give him back that asan. You go back and stand there like that. So it's like invoking the deity's presence at one place or in some certain asan. 48.
Whenever one develops faith in me, in my form as a deity or in other bona fide manifestations, one should worship me in that form. I certainly exist both within all created beings and also separately in my original form, since I am the super soul of all.
So here Krishna is worshipped according to the faith of particular worshipper. So the deity form or Archamurti is specially mentioned here because deity worship is essential for spiritual progress. So by regulated faithful worship, one gradually understands that the deity is completely non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. So Lord can be present in very many forms, right? He is separately present in spiritual world also. At the same time, simultaneously also, he can manifest in various other forms. Yesterday we have seen 8 kinds of deities, right? So Krishna can manifest in the form of a deity simultaneously at different places also. That's what Krishna is clarifying here. In my form as the deity or any other bona fide manifestation, one should worship me. I certainly exist both within all created beings and also separately in my original form. So Krishna is existing separately as Bhagavan in spiritual world. He is also existing in the hearts of our living entities and he is also existing in various deities. Right? So one can worship him like that. So now 49 to 55, Krishna gives some concluding remarks of What are the various rewards? Right, to attract some people who are interested in fruitive results more, Krishna also speaks about some rewards, benefits of deity worship. And to chase away offenders, Krishna also speaks about punishment to offenders of the deities. So this is the last part. Please read 49th verse.
By worshipping me through the various methods prescribed in the Vedas and Tantras, one will gain from me his desired perfection in both this life and the next.
Mm.
The devotee should more fully establish my deity by solidly constructing a temple along with beautiful gardens. These gardens should be set aside to provide flowers for the regular daily worship, special deity processions and holiday observers.
So we have a garden here. Valram Shakti Prabhu maintains it. He supplies flowers. So now, in 49th verse, the primary benefit is mentioned. One will gain from me his desired perfection in both this life and next. The primary is, you know, to attain Krishna, right? And there are some secondary results also. So primary result is like, that is actually mentioned in the 53rd verse. 49 is not like primary. He says he desired perfection in this life and next life is in a generic way. He just says about the benefits. But 51 and 52 are the secondary results. 53 is the ultimate result. 51. One who offers the deity gifts of land, markets, cities and villages, so the regular daily worship and special festivals of the deity may go on continuously, will achieve opulence equal to my own. Opulence equal to my own. That is Sarishti. So this is to attract people who are interested in results, benefits. By installing the deity of the Lord, one becomes king of the entire earth. By building a temple for the Lord, one becomes ruler of the three worlds. By worshipping and serving the deity, one goes to the planet of Lord Brahma. And by performing all three of these activities, one achieves a transcendental form like my own. This is Sarupya. So Krishna is promising Sarishti and Sarupya, okay, for the deity worshippers or the facilitators of deity worship. But these are like secondary results. The ultimate purpose is 53rd verse. Mamevanairapekshena Bhakti Yogena Vindati Bhakti Yogam Salabhata Evam Yah Pujayetamam. But one who simply engages in devotional service with no consideration of fruitive results attains me. If you want fruitive results, I will give you whatever I mentioned in 51 and 52. But if you do it, mam eva nairapekshena, nirapeksha, right? Being freed from any other motivations. If one worships bhakti yogena, with bhakti, then bhakti yogam sa labhata evam yah pujayeta mam. So thus, whoever worships me according to the process I have described will ultimately attain pure devotional service unto me. That is about the benefits of deity worship. 54 and 55, punishments. Offense, result of offenses. Yasvadattam parair dattam hareta sura viprayoha vrittim sajayate vidbhub varshanam ayutayutam. Anyone who steals the property of the demigods or the brahmanas, whether originally given to them by himself or someone else, must live as a worm in stool for 100 million years. Not only the performer of the theft, but also anyone who assists him, instigates the crime, or simply approves it, must also share the reaction in the next life. According to their degree of participation, they each must suffer a proportionate consequence. Ethamam prabadhyante. So that's how Krishna summarizes the process of deity worship on the request of Uddhava. Now we will begin chapter number 28. So this 28th chapter is titled Jnana Yoga. It is...